Good morning.
Good morning.
Christ is our midst. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The story is told of three bikers who pulled into a highway cafe to eat. When they came in, there was a truck driver, a small little puny guy, sitting quietly on a stool eating his food. These bikers were bullies, and they began to taunt the little man. They teased him. They took away his food and laughed in his face. The little truck driver said nothing. He simply got up, paid his bill, and walked out. One of the bikers were frustrated that he was not able to provoke the little man. He says to the waitress, "Boy, he sure wasn't much of a man, was he?" The waitress said, "Well, I guess not." And she looked out the window and she said, "He's not much of a truck driver either. He just ran over three motorcycles." Conflict is a routine part of everyday life. We deal with it almost every hour of the day, whether we're at home, at work, in the classroom, or for the children on the school bus or playground. No one's immune. And we're kind of like conflict. We're kind of attracted to it. It's kind of the core of entertainment. Think about sports. It's created conflict. Boxing, wrestling, soccer, baseball, football, even ping pong and tennis. Movies and books. A good love story, a good movie, has conflict in the plot. Video games, board games, schoolyard games, even cards and chess. Imagine how boring a football game would be without conflict, right? If all the players broke in huddle and sang Kumbaya. Gators and Jaguars need to do that the last few games, right? Might a little bit better, okay. The scriptures, the Holy Scriptures from beginning to end. Genesis to Revelations, story about conflict. Man at war with the evil one. And how we deal with it, how victory is found. How we deal with conflict, brothers and sisters, is at the core of the spiritual life. Let me repeat that again because I want us to own this. How we deal with conflict is at the core of the spiritual life. Now we all have, not maybe we all have, many people have a romantic image of a monastery. All kumbaya, right? Monastic life is all about dealing with conflict. Just like in our own families, we have conflict. In the monastery is a group of people trying to live together who aren't even related genetically, right? But it's a spiritual family. And big question for the monastics who are living in community, do you see the speck in your brother's eye? Or do you love one another? How do you deal with any conflict that arises up in a community? It's quite different. In fact, it's more difficult than in a regular home, family-related home. In 1962, there was a saintly bishop. His name was John. He was a bishop in Paris, France. And there was a parish in San Francisco that needed help. And so they sent him over there to Holy Virgin Cathedral to help build community, to fix this community that was in conflict. And the church was in a building program. As often is the case, when there's a building program, the church is divided over it. And what happened was construction was stopped and they wanted to get it started again. So the Archbishop's work was to bring reconciliation and bring the building and finish building the church. And instead, humans being what they are, the Archbishop became a target of their conflict, a target of their slander. In fact, even the parish council sued the Archbishop, put in a lawsuit against him, and took him to court for the mishandling of construction funds. And so when he was in court, he's sitting there and the judge said to him, and this is really sad, your parish taking your bishop to court, right? So he was told by the judge to say, give his side of the story. And he refused to respond. He was silent. When asked why, he said, when my Lord was accused, he stood silently. Silence is a very important response to conflict, brothers and sisters. Eventually, the Archbishop was exonerated. By the Archbishop's loving, non-argumentative, unemotional, detached, turning the other cheek response, he prepared the path for reconciliation. His silence gave a place for the Holy Spirit to work. In a short matter of time, his accusers repented, and everyone was reconciled. Today, we know this archbishop as St. John Maximovich. Isn't that a great story? The cathedral was finished. He died, and they, like 7 or 8 years later, they buried him in the basement of the church, and the same people who accused him went and venerated his relics. It's a beautiful thing. St. John was obedient to our Lord's words in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Peacemaking is proactive. It does not just happen. We have to make a decision to make peace. When there's conflict, we have to take the initiative, brothers and sisters, in making peace. It's as always, especially in our homes. I was on a mission team once with Robert Lovings down in San Esteban. And there's this wonderful man on the team called Larry Kors, Mr. Larry Kors. He was a well-traveled man. I totally admired this man. A man of strong faith and great wisdom. Professionally, he was a family counselor, meaning dealing with conflict was a specialty, okay? He said something to the effect like this. When having a fight with your spouse, the facts don't matter. The most important thing is put the facts aside. Deal with the feelings and the emotions and make peace. The facts can be decided the next day when the emotions are gone. Wisdom, great wisdom. I challenge everyone to do it. And this is true in all relationships. With our siblings, how many times do we have problems with our siblings? Our parents, our children, grown children, and friends. We have to be detached from our emotions when we're in conflict. It's so important. One day I was visiting my mom and dad. They had this beautiful house on the beach. I loved it. I just loved going there, visiting, and just every morning wake up, watch the sunrise come over the ocean, listen to the waves. So one day we're eating dinner. My mom smoked my whole childhood and quit when I left home. And while we're eating dinner, I said innocently to her, "It's really nice to sit in the house, Mom, and not hear you cough." She said, "I never coughed." I said, "You did all the time. It's the sound of my childhood. I remember it." We went back and forth. So I looked at my dad across the table. "Didn't Mom cough all the time, Dad?" He just looked at me. No response. I asked him again and again. No response. Mom left the room, went to the kitchen from the dining room. I said, "Dad, Mom coughed all the time." He said, "Yeah, so?" I said, "Why didn't you say something, Dad?" I was, you know, he said, "Son, did it really matter?" Wow, did it really matter? It was wisdom. I learned a lot from my dad, and he understood relationships. It doesn't matter who's right or wrong. Life's about relationships. I was just being a dumb kid, dumb adult kid. Conflict is like a fire. When conflict arises, we have to remember we carry two buckets, one with water and one with gasoline. And which one we're going to throw on the flames. My dad threw water, St. Maximovich by practicing silence, and let the Holy Spirit speak through water. Mr. Larry Kors taught people in his practice, throw water. I would say, as Christians, we throw water. Close with these thoughts. A precondition to our worship is to be at peace with all. In the rubrics, it says just before the priest serves, before he vests, when the priest desires to perform the divine mystery, he must first be at peace with all. And then right after, we start the liturgy, we invoke the kingdom, we ask the kingdom to come to our presence, bless the kingdom. We pray three litanies about peace. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. This means the peace in our heart and also peace with one another. Then we pray for the peace from above. And you know what this peace from above is the Holy Spirit. Saint Seraphim, acquire the spirit of peace, the presence of God in your lives. And then we pray for the peace of the whole world. That means we're praying for peace between people and nations, world peace. We're praying for the end of warfare, the end of struggle between races. We're praying for the end of struggle between nations and social classes. So it's the foundation, the beginning of our worship. Just no conflict. But brothers and sisters, conflict is inevitable. We deal with it all day long. School, work, even here in the altar. Question is, how do we deal with it? How we deal with it reflects our spiritual life. Our Lord says, blessed are the peacemakers. God is saying, is peacemakers proactive? And he says, for they will be called the children of God. That means if we proactively make peace, Jesus is saying that we'll be his children, that we'll be heirs of his kingdom, that we too will find paradise. Think about it. You can't go to heaven in conflict. It's all got to be good. So, when I just about finished writing these words, I realized something, especially reflecting on St. John Maximovich. St. Justin's on the threshold of a much-needed building program. And just like family buying or building a home, there will be a lot of emotions, a lot of decisions for us to make as a community, as a church family. Building programs are packed with the opportunity for conflict. It's just the way it is. I could tell you as a dean, I get involved in some of these on some level. Spiritually, we will all be tested. And that's okay. That's good. That's fine. How we deal with it will reflect our spiritual life. And I honestly and really think we will do well. I sincerely believe that. So if we pray, if we fast, seeking God's will, not our own will, is all going to be well. I just wanted to add that in because we need to know about these things. So, to Christ be glory, honor, and worship, to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.